to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Morena, Lara.
Morena. I'm in beautiful Ōtautahi Christchurch today, and I actually can do some weather. It's sunny.
Oh, lovely.
Sunny. It's blue sky. Well, from what I can see, it's blue sky from this wonderful medium-density housing around the city. Just wishing Auckland could get a bit of that. But
I know. It's pretty miserable up here today. So happy for you that you've got some sunshine.
Sunshine and medium-density housing is what we need.
It's gross and we're looking into high-rise. So yeah. it's all good. Radio, heaps to discuss today. Big state of the nation has dropped.
Where do we begin with this?
Yeah, so it feels like, you know, it's one of those things where we all wonder when the political year is going to kick off. You know, traditionally, Ratana, which is, I think, end of the month, and Waitangi Day, those are meant to be the main sort of markers at the start of the political calendar. There's a lot of events this year, so, you know, various political parties kind of getting into gear, doing their caucus retreats and various announcements and speeches, I guess, over this time. But we've also seen the State of the Nation speech by Luxon yesterday, and sort of a very friendly kind of business, Chamber of Commerce type audience as well. So there was a speech, and then there was kind of a Q&A afterwards with former National Party leader and current Auckland Chamber of Commerce CEO Simon Bridges. So that's been our main sort of, I guess, political inputs of the week, or the main event. And it's interesting because, you know, it's a big speech, State of the Nation, you know, like the US president tends to do that. That's why we tend to have that kind of language or framing, because it's not anything constitutionally for us to do a State of the Nation type speech, to have our Prime Minister do that. And there's just basically been a lot of commentary, but no real like announcements or nothing really, with no kind of lolly scramble for policy, nothing much of note in the speech, basically. And so I was like, oh, cool, I'll prepare for this by reading the speech. And I really don't know what to say about it, to be honest. It's just like, it's a speech. Yeah.
Yeah.
words.
Yeah. I have a pātai about these sort of speeches, the State of the Nation speech. Is it normal that the Prime Minister can just sort of choose whoever they want to do it to, or like what the audience is? Because the Auckland Business, it was hosted by the Auckland Business Chamber, and it was like you say, lots of sort of business owners and stuff. I'm like interested as to whether Luxon gets to just choose where the speech can happen, or what's happened previously.
And, totally, and the title of the speech. So you're pretty much just relying on what previous people have done, what previous leaders or prime ministers have done. The State of the Nation speech hasn't really been a kind of common framing, although you can really realistically call a speech whatever you want to call it. I know Winston Peters has done similar, and I remember the famous Don Brash Ōrewa speech in 2004 about so-called race relations was I think labelled the State of the Nation speech. So you can pretty much just call your speech whatever you want. I mean, this isn't like a formal kind of speech where, you know, for example, the speech from the phone where the Governor General reads out the policy agenda of the government. It's nothing like that. So you can pretty much call it what you want and really say what you want. It's really up to you as the leader, as the Prime Minister. And I think, you know, especially for being at the start of the year, you've got this sort of agenda-setting or tone-setting power when you're the Prime Minister. And, yeah, the tone that's been set has really been one of no promises much of anything. And just a little bit of summing up what National have done so far, according to, of course, the statistics and the data that they've chosen to present, to kind of frame the year or the last couple of years as kind of tough. That's the way that they framed it, as hard. They often point to the external economic forces, such as Trump's tariffs, and that being quite hard for them because there's only limited things they can do. And that's been kind of one of their main talking points, and various talking points around crime levels, and points around NCEA reform and education. So those have been their main kind of selling points. But there's nothing much in there. There's like, again, not anything much that's like, you know, there's no Luxonism or no like ideology. You know, I always think Rogenomics or Ruffinasia, you know, back in the 80s and 90s. There's no like Luxon style ideology flowing through it. And again, there's not necessarily that big vision or kind of upward trajectory curve, other than this kind of idea that there's starting to be green shoots, is the phrasing they're using in the economy. And the commentary around this has been really interesting. I've just been looking at you know, the commentary and Stuff and Herald and those kind of main outlets. And they're pretty much like, it was a, like similar to me. It was a speech. There's not much in there. Thomas Coughlin said that it was quite similar to a speech that Luxon had done in November. So, yeah, really not much for us to go off at this point. And then, of course, the broader question is this exciting enough for New Zealanders? Is this actually reflecting New Zealanders' needs at this point? So, yeah, that's kind of what's going on at the moment.
There does seem to be a lot of sort of commentary from Luxon in the speech on the economy and sort of feeling like defending all the choices that they've made, and that we're just around the corner from when it all gets great.
It's getting better.
And it feels a little bit, I don't know, tone deaf maybe?
I mean, that would be it would be a great thing, right, if suddenly this year, I mean, for everyone, well, not everyone equally, but for the country in general, if the economy did pick up this year. But then we come back to that question of what causes the economy to pick up. Actually, you know, like, with, you know, if you're talking to an economist, it's many factors at once, isn't it? And there is, it's really interesting seeing this framing from National around, like, we can only control it so much, because they assume that the moment that it goes up, they will say that they controlled it, you know. But if it went down, they've got to be really careful, because this has happened in terms of the Australian and Canadian elections, where everything looked like it was going a certain way, and then suddenly Trump did something, basically. Trump instituted tariffs and the whole election flipped. So we have to, like, that they have to be a bit, I think, a bit quiet at this point in terms of their framing, and just kind of, yeah, this was very much a hands-off kind of speech, like, we'll let it play out. And the other big element is everyone just, like, speculating when the election's going to be. Because if you're waiting for economic recovery, you want a long lead time.
You want
to give people time to go to the petrol pump or, I don't know, supermarket or whatever people do, and think, oh, actually, yeah, the economy has improved.
Heaps
of people out dining tonight, you know, like that kind of thing. That's a national. So that's their kind of long game. I mean, nothing is very exciting or inspiring at this point, though.
In a way, I'm kind of relieved that it was a bit of a nothing speech, because, like, when Luxon gets real Luxon-y, I find it quite hard to watch, just personally.
I mean, I think this was fairly Luxon-y, though.
Yeah, it was pretty... he's just at his worst when he ad-libs.
To speak a lot without saying much, eh?
Yeah, so he had a couple of things where I think he said the term actually 20-something times. That analysis and stuff at the moment. And then the other thing in the Q&A... someone had reported that he'd do something around, like, that's what turns me on or something.
He did. Oh, and then
Millie was talking to me about this off air.
I was wondering if this was going to come up, this kind of, like, sexualized language, because then Nicola Willis stood next to him and was, like, talking all about the 100,000 Kiwi-built houses and went, yeah, that was a sexy promise, but it never came true, or something like that. And I was kind of like,
why are we doing that?
I was kind of like, okay, what aphrodisiac has happened here?
I mean, do you want that, or do you want the, like, battle, the do or die? Like, the best one was ever with Tova O'Brien. It's going to shoot a bazooka into the election. Like, those are the options. I mean, maybe we just maybe get, I mean, and then that's the other thing. Do we get less Kiwi colloquial, chill, funny, cutesy? And go, well, it's one of those things, but yeah, that's up. Interesting that they were using sexualized language. I mean, you know, this is the trade-off here.
It's just odd.
It does give us a bit of a laugh, though, doesn't it? So, I mean, that's obviously kind of, I guess it plays into that kind of daggy mum, dad, you know, Kiwi mum, Kiwi dad kind of makes a silly comment.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
she's a bit naughty, she's got a sav, you know, like that kind of joke. Might be relatable to some people, maybe.
It made for a good soundbite, I must admit. I was watching the news.
We should sting
news.
That for the radio.
Yeah.
Although I just don't think anybody needs to hear Christopher Luxon talking about what turns him on, eh?
No.
Yeah, probably not. The hark back to, remember Hipkins when he became Prime Minister?
Oh, we've got that, don't worry. Yeah. The spread their legs.
A lot of people were like, oh, it's the spread your legs for COVID guy. Like, yeah. Yep.
I play that sting probably once a week.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, you never know what's going to hit with the public. You just never know. Of course, the other one being Talofa, my husband's in Samoa.
Oh, yes.
You never know what's going to carry through and become a meme. But, you know, like, I think in modern politics, you want your memes to be kind of laughing with people, you know, rather than them laughing at you. So you never know it's going to create one. Maybe they're trying a bit hard to create one, and it has to be authentic.
That's so true.
Yes, let's talk a little bit about election dates before we wrap up, because I know that some people were expecting maybe Christopher Luxon to announce an election date with this speech, but it didn't happen, and there's been lots of speculating. I've seen a lot of people doing sort of like red string murder mystery boards trying to piece it all together and figure out when this election is going to be.
Yeah, it's a hard one, I think, because a lot of us who are, like, in sort of, like, the media and politics and political science, like, we don't want to accidentally plan a holiday for the election week, you know? Like, we're all quite invested. And then, of course, a lot of the political editors and that probably want to plan a holiday for right after the election. But, of course, now we've got the coalition negotiations. So, guys, January. It's got to be January. But so, basically, there's a whole bunch of factors that come into play around when setting the election date. It's got to be, there's always a maximum date of the term, so people have been working backwards from that. That's sometime in December. You know, you would never have an election in December because, like, people will be over it. You work backwards, you knock off the school holidays. I'm not sure why we can't vote during the school holidays, but apparently we can't. I'm like, you could take the kid,
it's the youths. They're gonna influence the vote.
And then there's the whole thing around, like, can't be during an All Blacks game.
Yes, I was gonna comment on this. Who's the guy from the spin-off that does the really great reels on Instagram?
Robbie Nichols.
Yes, his one was like, had a whole bunch of possible dates, and then he ruled out all the ones that the All Blacks had games on. I was like, what the hell?
It's common practice. It's really common practice to not have the formal election date on an All Blacks, you know, when All Blacks playing on a test. You generally want to avoid those big sporting events. I think politicians are worried about attention being divided. I mean, I'm not sure how relevant it is now we have that 2-week advance voting period, but it still seems to be a tradition. And these traditions become what are called kind of constitutional conventions at a point. And one has been the Prime Minister kind of for the last 15 years or so, in late January, early Feb, or one time it was as late as early March, announcing when the election's going to be. So that's really what we're all waiting for. And we wonder if it might be, the other four people who like to predict this, and thinking that, you know, it's maybe at the caucus retreat. It does seem like the caucus retreat in Christchurch that the National MPs are doing this week, or next week, or sometime soon, you know, that's when we will know the election date. So that's kind of what we're waiting for. Toby Manhire has a very specific piece, and Professor Dean Knight, who's a constitutional public law professor, also has his own sort of LinkedIn post that works through it. So there's quite a few people who have sat down and you know, I wonder if anyone's got a sweepstake.
Well, that's what I was about to ask you. Have you got money on this, Lara?
No, I do not. I think it's something like, most people seem to think the 7th of November. I suspect that also we would be, late October, November. That would be my kind of guess.
That feels like a good omen. That's my sister's birthday, I think. That could come together for me.
And she might be crying. She might be happy as a birthday present. Who knows?
Well,
this is one of those elections that we do not know.
She abandoned ship. She's gone to Australia. She couldn't take it anymore.
overseas voting is important, though.
She does need to vote.
And actually quite easy. I have to do a plug for overseas voting. We recently voted in the Māori, the Tāmaki Makaurau, the by-election for the Māori seat we voted from Paris, actually.
That's crazy.
Quite sounds very bougie, but we did that way, and it was very easy. You just download the forms, fill them out, send them off in enough time. It was actually kind of easier than voting in person. A plug to make sure that all the hundreds of thousands of people who now live there.
You might have abandoned us once, but you can't leave us now. No. We need you.
Yeah.
Get the cousins, get the siblings, get the aunties, get everyone.
It's our time of need.
Very good. On that note, thank you so much, Lara.
Thanks,
you have an awesome
Lara.
Rest of your week, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Yeah, we'll do. Kia ora. Hopefully there'll be more news.
Yeah, hopefully.
All right.
Ka kite.
Bye.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.